Running with Jake, the podcast. On this episode,
for those that are, you know, running their first marathon or their first half marathon, it is an incredible atmosphere and an incredible race to be part of. And what you will find is, even though your run might not have gone to plan this weekend, that actually, you know, the next 8 miles that you've got to find, they will come. And they will come in a way that you never thought they would.
Running with Jake, the podcast. Because every runner needs the occasional plot. And here's your host, Jake Lowe.
Welcome to the Running with Jake podcast. I'm your host, Jake Lowe. This is the place for your weekly dose of running motivation. We've got a great show lined up for you today. If you like what you hear on today's show or any of the episodes, then please use your podcast app to share, subscribe and review. You know we like a review and a good old rating. We're going to be catching up with Ben Smith. 401 Ben Smith from the 401 Challenge. You may remember he ran 401 marathons in 401 days. I'd like to class him as a friend of the show. We speak to him quite a lot. And we caught up with him, BL, which is before lockdown, which is the new term that we're going to use now. Before the lockdown, we caught up with him to find out exactly what was going on with Challenge USA, which is his next big ambition to run 50 marathons in 50 different states, and he's going to get on a bike and cycle between each one. Obviously, the lockdown has caused a slight delay in his target, so we're going to catch up with him on the show a little bit later on. But 401 marathons. Pete, I still cannot get over that. That's just insane. I mean, a few years ago now, but everybody knows about this. He was all over the news. It's just crazy, isn't it?
I know. That was the first running book I ever read. In fact, the only running book I ever read, to be fair. And it's really good. It just blows my mind. And you go, oh, Ben 401, 401 marathons, 401 days. But if you think about it, it's too much. I know there's all the charity stuff, but he must have been bored as well. There's got to be some...
You don't run 401 marathons just kind of on a whim, do you? I mean, that's a serious level of boredom, though, to be fair, isn't it? What shall I do? What are you going to do for the next year and a bit? Well, I might... I mean, I could just run 26.2 miles every day. What do you reckon?
Yeah, great idea. Who says that? Who says that? And what's more, what are his feet like? Do you know what I mean?
They are going to be battered, aren't they? I mean...
After 401 marathons, imagine that.
That's the one thing Martina, my girlfriend, couldn't get used to. So she was a swimmer. Well, she still is a swimmer. Mm. She'll kill me for saying was. So she's still a swimmer. But that's her background. So, of course, you know, you're in the water and everything's fine and there's no issues at all. Whereas now, when she started running, yeah, feet are getting a little bit battered. But 401 marathons. In fact, do you know what? I really hope Ben is not one of those guys that puts photos of his feet on social media. To be fair, I haven't seen him do that. But you do get people doing this. Pete, honestly, the runners I follow. Yeah, in fact, one of my runners, he did it the other day. And I sent him a message like, look, never do that again. Otherwise, you're off the team. You're no longer in the performance community. Yeah, because he put like a massive photo, like real close-up, like macro lens and everything, of his toenails.
Wow, man. Why would you do that? What's that sort of twisted that you post the most horrible part of you? It's like if I posted my belly button, would I do that? No, I wouldn't do that, because I appreciate it's a grotesque thing. In fact, you know, I've been with Becky for quite some time now. It was 6 months till I let her see my belly button. I had a cork in there, man. It's like I'm not going to share that on social media.
Can I just point out, we're on video phone right now talking to each other. We can see each other. Just stay sat down. Please do not show me your belly button. I really don't want to see that.
I'm not going to show it off. It's absolutely fine.
We know Ben is a super inspirational guy, but I have to say, I cannot believe that he's inspired you. Okay, to read a book, to read his book about the 401 marathons he ran, but that's pretty impressive. And now I've... for a long time tried to get you into a little bit of running, Pete. We know this. The listeners of the show know this. We're on episode, I think it's 18 now. And for 18 episodes, I've been trying to get you to run. What is going on at the moment? Where has this sudden change in your behaviour occurred? So just to put people firmly in the picture here, I called you last week to talk about content for today's show. And what were you doing?
I'd gone for a little run.
You were walking at the time and you sounded a little bit out of breath. But after further questioning, you'd gone for a little run. I didn't know about this. What's going on?
I don't want to say that I'm a running guy, because I'm not a running guy, okay? I never run. I never wanted to run. It was never within my game plan to run. I appreciate that I produce a running podcast. I appreciate running. I know how great it is for you and all that kind of stuff. And then I ended up running inadvertently, and it was nothing to do with you as a motivator, although you are, I appreciate it.
Great.
That's
great.
It was nothing to do...
inadvertently.
It was nothing to do with that bloke who ran 401 marathons. It was nothing to do with reading that book. I tell you what it was to do with. It was to do with the fact that I've got a teenage boy who is grotesque. And when I say that, I mean, seriously, he's 16 years old. He'll do anything to get out of having a shower. What is wrong with teenage boys? Was I like that when I was a teenager? I don't know. I really don't know.
So how does this connect to you starting running? I thought you had like a light bulb moment, like an epiphany. Like I thought you just produced so many of these podcasts, the weekly dose of running motivation, that you just felt inspired and compelled to don the shoes. What's this got to do with your lad?
With Eddie, he comes over at the weekend, yeah? And we hang out together for the weekend. And the other weekend, he got in the car and I just thought, oh, he needs to have a shower. And I went, dude, how about you have a shower when we get back? And he went, no, it's all right, I don't need one. And I went, you do need one. Anyway, that didn't work out. So I said, when did you last have a shower? He said, well, I'm doing Couch to 5K with my mum, and I had a shower after the last run that we did a couple of days ago.
And so doesn't live at yours, right? So he comes and visits at the weekend.
Yeah, he comes and visits at the weekend, and he's still visiting during lockdown, of course, because that's still allowed. And so I thought to myself, well, I've hatched a plan. If he had a shower after doing his Couch to 5K that he's doing with his mum, I said, well, how about when we get back, we go and do a Couch to 5K thing, and then you can have a shower. And he said, yeah, that works. So basically, all I did is I got tricked into running through trying to con my son into having a shower. Because I didn't want him to sit there stinking the entire house out. And he's past the point where I'm able to drag him, you know, by the scruff of his neck into the shower, because that's not allowed anymore. And, you know, he's 16, he can make his own decisions. But basically, you know, that was the reason that I started doing the Couch to 5K. And then I just thought, I'm just going to continue this. And then whenever he comes around, we can do a little bit of a run together. And he can have a shower afterwards.
You know, I'm impressed. And I'm... to a degree, there's a degree of pride. I'm proud of you. Yeah. I mean, okay, I would prefer it if you'd have made this decision off your own back, and if you'd have included me in this decision-making process. I mean, I can tell you're taking it seriously, because you're referring to it as that Couch to 5K thing.
Yes, I know. Well, you've always said that we've all got a why. You've always tried and investigate people's whys. Why are you doing 401 marathons in 401 days? Why do you want to break 3 hours in a marathon? Why do you want to do Couch to 5K? Sometimes you say that our answers, and we don't know why we want to do it. I want to do it so the kid will have a shower.
I mean, that's an interesting personal value that you have there.
Isn't it?
Which week are you on?
I've just gone into week three. I've got a week three run to do.
People do want to see you become a runner. They're intrigued to know if my powers of influence can convert you to being able to run. You say people don't change. I think people can change. They've just really got to want to change.
Yeah, I don't want to change.
This is kind of... You've changed inadvertently. Is this something you're going to continue? Can you see yourself getting to 5K? How many weeks have you got left?
I don't know. I think it's... Is it 9 weeks? I'm not sure. God. I don't know. It might be 9 weeks. I'm not sure. I've done week one. I've done week two. I'm on week three. And it means that I've got to run for a total of... Well, for 3 minutes. There are 3 minute runs in there. I'm thinking that's quite a challenge for me, to be fair. So we'll see how it goes. But the answer is... Because I've started, I will finish. And it's very much like Mastermind. I've started, so I'll finish. I will do the 5K, I think. Yeah. Yeah, I'll do that.
See, I thought I really knew you. We've known each other a long time, and I thought we have a really good relationship. I know Pete really well, a loyal guy, very open and honest, and we understand each other. After that phone call, I put the phone down. I had one of those moments where you think, what did that just happen? Did I call Pete and he was out running? He said, did that just happen?
So, it was bizarre, wasn't it? Because we were on the phone. I went, oh, bloody hell, Michael Johnson started again. I've got a run, mate. Hang on. Because it's got Michael Johnson's voice on it. And he's like...
Yeah, he's cool.
You know, if he tells you to run, you're going to run, right?
Yeah, you got to go. It's as simple as that. Yeah, I don't care whether you're a non-running guy or not. If he says go, you got to do it.
It's like 3, 2, 1, go. Right, I've got a dude. I'm going. Bye.
But you know, after the call, I don't know what compelled me to do this. You know, when your mind just kind of goes into override, and before you know it, you have one thought and it leads into another thought and it leads into another thought. And then for some reason, I found myself just reflecting on our relationship. And then,
right.
Then before I knew it, I don't know why I did this. I still don't know why I did this. But I Googled you.
Why? What?
I don't know.
What?
I don't know.
That's the
I
kind
don't
of
know.
Thing you do to yourself at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
when you've had too many whiskies. You go, oh, I wonder what Google thinks to me.
Well, I Googled you and an image came up.
What image?
An image of you in in what looks like a boiler suit, a white boiler suit.
Oh, God, I know what you mean.
Holding an Olympic torch. And being chased by a yellow car.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was the 2012 Olympic marathon, wasn't it? Because I did that. So I ended up doing 200 metres of this Olympic relay where everybody, well, lots of people did the Olympic relay throughout the whole of the UK just before London 2012. And they did send me through the post, like you say, a boiler suit. I think it's quite a cool tracksuit, but the problem is it's not quite a cool body that it's on. So I do look a bit like Mr. Stay Puft.
It's very fitted.
Isn't it? It really is, yeah. Yeah.
It is very fitted. And I'm surprised, actually, when you said 200 metres, you look like you're a little bit further down the road than 200 metres. You look like you've covered a fair distance, shall we say.
I know, I do. I think that was the picture there is about 50 metres in. So you can imagine what I look like at 200 metres.
Now look, before we move on, I want to get Ben on the show. Obviously, I want to find out what's happening with his Challenge USA. We just need to have a very open chat here, Pete. We need to make a pact that we're going to be honest and open with each other. Is there anything else I need to know about your rich running history? I mean, you're doing Cash to 5K. You've just started week three. You've ran with an Olympic torch. I mean, even I haven't done that. Is there anything else I need to know?
I ran for a bus once. That's about it.
You
sure?
That's it.
That I'm sure, yeah.
Are we done? Are we cards on the table?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
Cool. We need to keep tabs on you, and we need to know how. Our listeners need to know how you're getting on.
I am not a running guy. I'm not a running guy. I'll never be a running guy.
You could be the non-running guy that does the occasional run, but you're going to hit 5K. This is awesome. I've got so many ideas already. This is crazy.
Right, this 5K is you should see me. Seriously, it's not a run. That's more of a canter, if that. It's not even that.
Pete, whether it's a canter, a run, or a plod, you are slowly becoming a running guy, and I, for one, am very proud of you. Another person that we're all proud of is Ben Smith. 401 marathons in 401 days. He's got another challenge lined up. The challenge was originally set for 2020. That's no longer the case now, is it, Ben?
Yeah. It's now USA 2021. As with most things in life, you know, things beyond your control can affect all the planning and all the hard work that you put into things. You know, when we came to that decision, it was a really difficult decision to make because all the planning, all the preparation, all the recruitment around the team, you know, all the effort that we put in, you know, we've worked 16, 17 hour days for many, many months and ploughed all our effort into it. And then obviously to have the kind of disappointment that unfortunately we haven't hit the operational costs target that we had for March, it meant that we wouldn't be able to apply for the visas for the US to take the team out, and obviously we need those. So yeah, the initial disappointment was there, and obviously we were all feeling a bit down, but you know, in hindsight, obviously what with everything that's going on, you know, it would have been a bit more of a challenge, you know, with everything going on as it is. But you know, I think what we're really confident in is the fact that we've got a 16 to 18 month plan as to how we're going to raise this amount of money that we need to be able to pay for this project. But yeah, as with most things in life, the goal never changes, but the way you get there might.
You know, things beyond your control. One of the reasons we really wanted to get you on the show again, Ben, having spoke to you last time, obviously really keen to find out what was happening with USA 2021, as it now is, and your epic goal. We want to help as many people as possible with regards to running, of course, help them to get the most out of the sport, but particularly this time of year with marathon season literally around the corner.
Yeah.
And you alluded to it there, talk of, dare we say it, the coronavirus, and you've only got to turn on the news now to talk about the latest update, the latest update, the latest update. You know, people keeping a close eye on what's happening. Our race is going to go ahead. But the phrase you used to deal with your USA 2020 being postponed 1 year is things are beyond your control. And you do have to embrace that, don't you? And how do you overcome some of those sticky situations in life, like the postponement of the challenge that you've got? How did you deal with that? Because initially it must have hit you pretty hard.
Yeah, hugely. And you know, as you know from me, Jake, you know, we've met before, and you know, we've chatted in depth before. I'm quite an honest person when it comes to how I feel. And, you know, I'm not going to lie here. It affected me massively because there's a sense of you really rev yourself up mentally and not just physically, but mentally, you know, to be able to do a project like this. And then to suddenly have it almost taken away from you, you know, not having, you know, any control over that, it's really frustrating and it can kind of get you down a bit. And, you know, I spent about a week after we'd made the decision, you know, I was the happy, smiley guy and, you know, yes, everything's going to be fine. And we managed to keep all our sponsors and all our partners on board. And that was amazing. And the amount of love and support that came from all of the 401 family was huge. And, you know, the team that we just recruited, they stayed with us. So that was all great. But it was the after effect of it, you know, and I spent about a week feeling pretty down about it all. But it was about recognizing the fact that actually you're going to experience something like that. But then it's about picking yourself up and going, okay, you know, nobody's died here. You know, at the end of the day, I can do this again, or I can do this at another date in the future. And I think that's just the way, you know, my brain works, to be honest with you. I'm always going to find a solution to the problem. And yeah, okay, it was disappointing, but hey, do you know what? I'm still going to do it. It's just going to be 1 year ahead. That's all.
It's perspective and context, isn't it, sometimes? And it's not easy. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons I felt that we connected really well when we did meet up for the first time, Ben, is because you are quite clearly very heart on the sleeve, very open guy. And in the world of social media as it is today, you never really know what's going on behind closed doors and how genuine and honest people are being. Mm. And I really felt that you clearly are that very honest person, as I am. And sometimes I think that really pays to just put yourself out there. You know, me going over my ankle recently is not the biggest problem in the world. It's very much a first world problem. You know, I'm not walking miles to get clean drinking water. I've got a goal that actually I've got to push back a little bit now, like yourself. So perspective is really, really important. But how do you overcome it in terms of you talk about pulling yourself out of that hole and almost having that reality check that actually, you know, it's not the end of the world. It just means it's been delayed. The goal's not gone anywhere. It's just an extended route to the goal. Do you have your certain ways of pulling yourself out of the hole? Do you have certain go-tos in terms of people? Is it your partner? Is it your friends? Is it your family? What makes the difference between going from being a bear with a sore head to, okay, come on now, this is not the end of the world?
I have amazing friends, I have amazing family, and I have amazing people that I work with, and I think they play a massive part in, obviously, you know, helping me kind of get over the disappointment. But then it's also recognizing that they're also going through that as well. But yeah, they're the main kind of source of my inspiration, to be honest with you. But I'm not going to lie, you know, I'm pretty normal. I'm like everyone else. And there is a period where you do, it's almost like you mourn it in a little bit of a way. You almost have to grieve it and you have to go through that process. And I know it sounds very dramatic, but this is something that, you know, something that I planned for, something that I'd, you know, aspired to do, something that I had put out there to the world that I was going to do. And then suddenly to have to kind of renege almost on that, or to kind of push it back. You know, everybody has a different view of things. Everybody has, you know, a different understanding of things. And actually, therefore, everyone has a different opinion about stuff. And you know, especially with a lot of what's going on at the moment with the potential, you know, of marathons being cancelled or postponed. You know, you've got people that have, you know, trained for the first time in their lives to do something like this. And it has been a huge thing for them to then suddenly realize that 2, 3, 4 weeks out that their event may be, you know, postponed or cancelled. That's a big deal. And actually it is going to affect them. Of course it is. But I think it's about realizing that actually, you know, these organizers of these marathons are doing it based on the fact that they want to care for the people that are taking part. And, you know, we've just seen the likes of, I believe it was Barcelona that's just cancelled, or they postponed, I'm not too sure. We've got Rome as well that's done that, Paris as well. As of yet, none of the British marathons have kind of, you know, decided to postpone, but that could come out soon. So I think it's about people just understanding the severity of it, and just understanding that actually, do you know what, it's the decisions are being made for the right reasons and for their own safety, and actually there is always another opportunity to go and do this.
It's this being in the wise mind, isn't it? I think, Ben, and it's not always easy initially, because when we're given bad news or we experience something that's not so great, shall we say, you're in the emotional mind. And I think that people have every right to be in that emotional place, but I always try to encourage people to come out of it as soon as they can, rather than sort of dwelling on it for the next several weeks or so.
It's difficult though, isn't it? It's difficult to move out from the emotional mind into the rational thinking mind, especially when you're in the emotional mind. And do you know what? That's where having good friends and good family is really important, because they can do that for you.
Yeah, and I think the real close good friends and family, they never tire of helping you, do they? No. It's not like, oh man, so you're in this situation again, you've got another injury with your running, you've had to postpone this. Oh, you know, they're always there for you, and I think that shows the real value of close friends and family. But in terms of that grieving period, I'm really interested to pick up on this, because at the weekend I did a post on Facebook about long runs, so classic people, you know, people doing their classic long runs at the weekend, and it seemed to be, I don't know what it was, Ben, but this weekend just gone was a bad weekend for long runs. So many people were not having great runs, having stinkers. Either they didn't go to plan, or they actually didn't cut their run short, they got through it, but at the end they're thinking, man, how am I going to run another 8 miles or whatever it might be. How do you think, in terms of, I'm talking long runs specifically here, if somebody goes out there and has a particularly bad run, you know, you've had many long runs based on your awesome challenge, your awesome goal of 401 marathons in 401 days, you know, training for that event. How did you deal with those bad runs? What did you do to give yourself that reality check?
Well, I was quite lucky. A lot of my runs were done with other people. And I think, you know, for me, when I was planning my last project, and especially planning the new one in America, you know, it was understanding what motivated me about running. And for me, you know, it wasn't just the causes that I was running for. It was the fact that I absolutely, truly loved to run. But it was, what was the aspects of running that I actually truly loved? Was it the physical aspect? Was it the social aspect? What was it? And actually, I think for me, it wasn't necessarily the physical side of things for me. You know, the running fast, the getting a PB, that wasn't really what drove me. It was the fact that I got to be with people, and I got to chat, and I got to, you know, not be judged, and actually the confidence and self-esteem that it gave me. So for me, having kind of people around me was a big thing. And I think this is one thing that we have to realize, especially with what's coming up, that having people around you is a really important thing. And, you know, a lot of people that will be going out and doing long runs, they may be going out and doing them with groups of people, or they might be doing them on their own. What they've got to realize is that when it comes to marathon time, that they are going to be running with other types of people. There will be all that encouragement on the sidelines. You know, there'll be all those mile markers that they get to see. For those experienced marathon runners that have been part of that, you already know what I'm talking about. But for those that are, you know, running their first marathon or their first half marathon, it is an incredible atmosphere and an incredible race to be part of. And what you will find is, even though your run might not have gone to plan this weekend, that actually, you know, the next 8 miles that you've got to find, they will come, and they will come in a way that you never thought they would.
With regards to your training, where do you go from here then, Ben? Obviously you're leading up to what was USA 2020, so what's happening now? Are you kicking back, eating burgers, putting your feet up? Are you still out there running?
Oh, I wish.
Come on, you're an honest guy, you can tell me.
Yeah, honestly, I don't know. You know, we're still trying to figure that out. I in fact texted my coach this morning, so I'm lucky I have a coach on board now who's actually based out in Brisbane in Australia, and we do some kind of online what do they call it, WhatsApping or FaceTiming. I'm not that old. God, I'm 37 years old, and I sound like my father. Oh,
come
God,
on, Ben, move with the times, man.
Yeah, that technical stuff. Yeah, that. But no, this is a different element for me, you know, based off the back of the last one. You talked earlier, Jake, about the fact that I got myself conditioned and trained and all of that. And actually, I wasn't in the healthiest state I'd ever been when I started the last challenge. What I recognise with this one is that I do need to be in a pretty good, you know, physical state to be able to do what I'm going to go and do, because it is vastly more insane than the last one. Giving myself another year now to be able to train, you know, that's obviously a big bonus, but it's ensuring that I have a very scheduled training schedule, if you understand what I'm saying there. But also making sure that I have some milestones in place as well. And that's what we're just trying to figure out at the minute. Once we know, we'll obviously let you guys know. But in the time being, it's a bit of a blank slate at the moment. But yeah, as of tomorrow night, I should have a bit more of a plan.
Obviously, I'm a non-running guy, just the producer of a podcast. But the big thing that sticks out to me is obviously you've got a trainer who's in Brisbane. You're doing it via the technical route. You're not particularly happy with tech. I'm not particularly happy with tech. All I'm thinking is you've got 12 months on your side now. Surely a holiday to Australia with a few Castlemaine 4Xs? Is that not on the cards?
Well, you know what? If you'd like to pay for one of those, then that would be amazing. All my money at the minute's been ploughed into paying for America. But if
only there was more money in podcasts, I'd be right there with you, mate.
Exactly.
Do people still drink Castlemaine 4X? I don't think I've ever had one of those in my life, Pete.
Nor have I. It's all right, Jay. Nor have I.
Oh, gosh.
I think the last time I saw that, I saw it was next to a pump that said Skull on it as well.
Quite a while ago.
So, Ben, what are you up to over these next few months then in terms of your work with the schools? How are you promoting the challenge next year? Or is this all still yet to be confirmed with, obviously, this is only a recent change to to the timings and the schedule and stuff? How can people find out more about what you're up to? Keep on track, obviously, the usual social media channels. But are you going to be out and about in schools adding more dates to that tour?
Yeah. Well, there's actually a lot going on. In fact, we're actually busier than we'd ever been, even though we've now postponed it to the next year. It goes without saying, I'm wondering how we could have actually managed it this year, to be honest with you, with the schedule that we've got. But, you know, we would have been able to. The school programme that we launched as part of the USA 2020 Challenge, that's still happening. Having another year now to be able to really implant that into the 4,001 schools that we're wanting to in the UK will be hugely positive. I think it's one thing that we're really proud of at the minute. The programme itself is called A Journey to Wellbeing, and it's about not just inspiring children to challenge themselves to do things that they never thought they could do before, but also to kind of take them along on the journey. This postponement is a really good example of not giving up. It's also a really good example of showing them that actually, you know, the goal doesn't change, but how you get there does. And that's something, you know, that resilience factor that we really want to really instill in our younger people. But it's also giving them the tools as well to be able to deal with their mental well-being. And to date, we've got around about 470 schools and over 250,000 children registered on that. So giving ourselves another year, we should hit the 1 million young person mark, which is something we're really, really proud of. So I will be visiting schools over the kind of next year as part of a motivational speaking tour. So if any schools want to kind of book us or anything like that, just to get in touch with us throughout the website. On top of that, you know, the book has been selling really well, and we're using that as a book initiative. For every book sold, it equals the sponsorship of 1 mile in the next project, and we've just topped over the 12,000 book mark, which we're really proud of. We've got motivational speaking that we've got planned in over the next year. We're going to start making a big deal about that, because that can help us generate some funds to be able to, you know, pay for America too. We've just launched the foundation website, which is really, really exciting, and that's the 401foundation.co.uk. So go check that out. We've just started to hand out our first grants, which we're really proud of. So yeah, there's a lot going on. Alongside that, we've just also recruited a few extra people for the team, all volunteers, but these guys who we've just announced across our social media, these are the people that will be helping us kind of develop over the next year the USA Challenge. But also we'll be supporting it both in the States and also as a team here in the UK. So a lot going on and a lot to plan. Training obviously is a big part of that. And that's kind of one of the last things to figure out.
You obviously had a bit of a dark period, and understandably so, when you realised USA 2020 was going to be postponed. But my gosh, man, you've turned this around, and I can feel the positivity exuding from you. It's awesome to hear. It's great to chat to you again, Ben, and find out what's been going on. I'd love to catch up with you in the near future and find out a little bit more about how the plans are going for 2021 now. Will you come and chat to us again?
Yeah, definitely. And we'll have to go for that run when you're better.
I wish you the best of luck in the world. And if you do go to Australia, don't forget to let Pete, the producer, know, and he'll come and join you and keep you company, I'm sure.
All right, lads. Thanks a lot.
Running with Jake, the podcast, your weekly dose of running motivation, out every Wednesday. Never miss an episode by subscribing now.
It's time to take another one of your questions in hashtag AskJake, and Rob has sent us a message wanting to know how he can spice up his easy runs to make them more interesting. Rob, I've got so many solutions and techniques for you, my friend. How long have you got? I'll share with you one great tip that I think can really help, and you can put this into practice and let me know how you get on. Let's just assume for a moment that you're going out and doing a 60-minute easy run in the week. And let's also assume that your easy pace, your genuine easy pace, is around 10-30 minutes per mile. So I believe that a way to spice up easy running is sometimes just to do something that stimulates the mind, to change something that gives you something else to think about, almost a distraction. So what you could do is do the first 10 minutes of your 60-minute run aiming to average 10-30 minutes per mile. For the next 10 minutes, you might speed up ever so slightly. You're still running easy, but you might speed up ever so slightly to 10 minutes 10 per mile. And then the following 10 minutes, the next 10 minutes, you drop back to 10:30, and you just keep alternating between 10 minutes 10 and 10 minutes 30. So you're still running easy, but just that slight change in pace by 20 seconds gives you something else to think about, something to focus on, and hopefully you should find that the time goes a lot quicker. Got a question? You know the score. It's hashtag Ask Jake.
That's it for today's show. I hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on the app that you're using. Of course, leave us a review if you will be kind enough to leave us a golden 5-star review. But all the content from today's show and future shows, all you need to do is head over to runningwithjake.com/podcast. Oh yeah. And one last thing.
Your spring marathon may have been deferred, but that is not your biggest challenge. It's having to cut your own hair.